Hi, and welcome to Heart to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends.
Hello, I'm Cronus. Glad to be here.
I'm Darylise. Happy to be here. Send me money on PayPal, thanks.
And I'm Riley. Send me whatever you want, really. But I'm not giving you my mailing address, so just kind of toss it. Right next to your back steps, and I'll find it.
It's a little creepy.
If you PayPal me, I will tell you Riley's shipping address.
Oh my god! You know what? Bet. It's expensive though, so you better pay them handsomely.
Yeah. Pay me your arm, leg, and soul. Non-refundable.
And then you can ship me whatever you want. See, this is a win for everyone involved.
I'll send you some dandelions.
Fucking mint. Not to be confused with mint.
Yeah, I said dandelions, not mint.
Can I have mint too?
If you buy it.
Riley, your intros have been getting progressively more and more Night Vale / Usador.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What's what you're going for?
No.
Okay. So, do you guys remember what happened last time?
Yes.
Really?
Juggle Pup.
Dream Drop Distance.
Yep. Gay, that's the game we're in.
Gay God.
Gay Triple God, D's. Yep.
I know that we did not talk about these animal things nearly enough.
Yeah, no kidding.
We talked about them a good amount, but we'll talk about them more in depth at the end of the game, I think.
I think a good amount is a really subjective thing to say, Austin.
That's true.
Do not invalidate our experience of needing more Juggle Pup, Puma Panda, and Aura Lion, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for not respecting the levels of a Dream Eater that you need in your life.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I appreciate it.
So last time we also covered the City of Clocks, Notre Dame, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And Sora ran into young Xehanort, and Riku ran into Ansem. But as soon as they opened their sleeping keyholes in that world, and then the scene cuts. And we hear a voice. It's clearly Roxas, but the script says, question mark, question mark, question mark. Hey, Axel, you haven't forgotten? And Axel sits on the clock tower in Twilight Town eating sea salt ice cream with his best friend. What? You made us a promise. I did? That you'd always be there to bring us back. Yeah. Roxas turns his head and turns to him and points to his head. Got it memorized? And the image of Roxas disappears as Axel laughs. Best friends forever. And then, in Radiant Garden, clearly Axel wakes up on his back. Where? He turns over and starts to stand up. What happened to me? Roxas? He stands and turns and sees his own reflection. It's exactly the same. It's Axel, only without those two marks below his eyes. That's me. He looks towards the floor where four other figures have appeared, two dressed in lab coats and two others dressed as guards. Dylan, Alias, Evan, Yenzo. Alias manages to get to his knees as Yenzo begins to stir as well. Axel turns back to his reflection in the glass window and moves closer, touching his face. Mainly the part that I was mentioning with the black spots under his eyes that are no longer there. We're people again, but only the ones who joined the organization here. I guess Xehanort doesn't count, but where are Brig and Isa? So, we see that, the whole crew has been recompleted. And then we cut back to Sora, who arrives at an amusement park. Wow! He sees a lit Ferris wheel and a carousel in front of a tall roller coaster. A talking clown face hangs on the archway above the entrance. That Pinocchio, he must have his poor father worried sick. And Sora looks around. Still, that little fella's some miracle. Imagine, Mr. Geppetto's wooden puppet brought to life by the blue fairy. And he spots a familiar insect in a top hat and tails sitting on the steps ahead of him, his tiny umbrella resting in his lap. She made his wish for her son come true because he's given so much happiness to others. Now Pinocchio needs me to guide him and be his conscience. So maybe one day he can be a real... And he laughs. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves now, Jiminy. And Jiminy Cricket stands up. First, you gotta go find Pinocchio. Hey, Jiminy, what's up? Jiminy turns around and faces Sora. Hmm? Who are you? You shouldn't be here, young man. What? Are you okay, Jiminy? Hmm? You mean you've heard of me? Well, I'll be. The name Jiminy Cricket's already spread far and wide. Really, are you feeling all right? It's me, Sora. Sora, you say? Gosh, I don't think I recognize you. But the name does have a familiar ring. Oh, yeah. And the scene flashes back to Yensid's chamber.
In the sleeping worlds, real time does not flow unless one restores the world by waking it from its slumber. It will stay locked in a dream forever. Thus, you may encounter familiar faces, but they are just figments of the dream. In actuality, they are sound asleep, trapped within a world that is also dreaming. What's more, while someone may no longer dwell in the real version of a world, dreams may paint a fuller picture and restore what seems to be missing.
All that to say, this is not the real Jiminy Cricket, this is a dream of Jiminy Cricket, and that's why he doesn't recognize Sora, because it's from a dream of Jiminy Cricket from before Jiminy would have met Sora.
Okay.
Yeah, the second you allow worlds themselves to have dreams, stuff gets kind of complicated.
I wonder what Earth dreams about.
The good old days when humans weren't around.
Oh, yes. I also prefer the dinosaurs over humans.
I think the Earth dreams about Mars, because we've always had, like, tension with Mars, and I ship it.
Are you sure Mars?
Mars. Listen, the Earth has a crush on Jupiter, too, but that's too out of our league.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how would that work? Jupiter is so big.
A lot of people like size differences.
That's true.
Fair.
I love small kings. Not gonna lie. That was not necessary to share. Thanks. Anyway.
Your husband is shorter than you.
Just the smidgiest. Yeah.
Short king.
Mm-hmm.
SMOL.
So I have a question about the Mars shipping thing.
Stripping?
What?
Mars isn't stripping, I don't think. It did have an earthquake, though.
Shipping.
A Mars
shipping.
Wave.
Oh my god.
SHIP, shipping.
Oh, shipping. Okay, yes?
So what's, can you remind me what the term is for when, like, is it a yandere or no? No.
Sundere, maybe?
No, it's when, okay, so like, it's like a little unrequited, but unrequited? Unrequited. I'm not good at this.
Unrequited.
Thank you. And then, but like, low key, you know, like, the love interest totally likes them back, but they're kind of shitty about it and act like they don't.
Sundere.
Sundere. That's Mars, I think, in the situation, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I went through all that trouble just to say that.
Is it because Mars totally would be a redhead?
I
picture Mars with black hair.
Okay.
Same, I think.
Very red aesthetic, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But black hair.
Mars has hidden lairs.
Hey, Barely.
Mars is an ogre. Confirmed.
Onion.
Oh, God.
Shrek is love.
Barely? Don't know. God.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, our shipping podcast. This week's discussion ship, Earth and Mars.
We are relationship experts, to be fair.
We are. True.
You know, Heart to Heart would be a good name for a shipping podcast.
It would.
Absolutely.
Dear Leith, can you please make some really cute, like, art of Earth and Mars, like, as like humanoid characters, like with the black hair and the red aesthetic, and you know what I mean?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. Are we leaning, because I'm imagining like a totally gay couple.
Yeah, no.
This also is... totally, okay. Yeah, actually, yeah. Okay, dope. I love that we all cool. Understand the love energy between Earth and Mars. Cool. Okay.
They're so gay. Absolutely.
Listeners, please write in about your favorite planet ships.
if you want to write a fan fiction about Mars and Earth, I will read it if you send it to me.
Same. Yes.
Yeah.
And I will judge you a little bit, but I won't tell you that. Like, only I will tell you your writing is not good. But I'll still read it because I've read a lot of shit.
Oh, God.
Good.
All right, now that that's covered, continue, Austin.
Right, this is a Kingdom Hearts podcast. I forgot for a second.
We got you covered, buddy.
Oh, God. Where was I? The real Jiminy Cricket wasn't trapped in this world. So maybe it's like the dream world's putting him back where he belongs. What's that? I can't hear ya. Right, it's very nice to meet you, Jiminy. Well, sure, the feeling's mutual, Sora. Oh yeah, how come you said I need to get out of here? You can't fool me. You still think we know each other, and you've just about got me thinking it too. But where was I? Oh yes, this is a terrible place. Boys here are allowed to wreck things and loaf around and make jack-a-mules of themselves. And poor lost Pinocchio...
And love boys. Yeah?
What?
Yeah.
Boys here are allowed to love boys, right?
According to a friend of ours, Pinterest board, boys kiss boys, they saw it on Google Images.
Fair. Okay, it's confirmed. Boys, I'm boys. Sorry, I had to make sure. Google it.
I can confirm I have kissed boys.
Ooh.
Oh, spicy podcast.
My sister's husband, to be exact.
Oh, and my husband.
I've kissed Riley's husband. I've kissed many people at a convention.
Fair, good point.
Moments like this, I'm kind of glad I don't have a husband. Austin would be smooching him.
I'm gonna tell your man! Look,
a platonic smooch, there's nothing wrong with that. You can platonically smooch people.
Of course.
You totally can. I often want to platonically smooch.
More platonic affection, 2022. Don't let people stop you unless they ask you to stop.
Yeah, everyone has to consent.
Yeah.
Boundaries, people. Boundaries.
We're such good relationship experts.
And poor lost Pinocchio. He wandered in here on my watch. That's right. That's where I must have heard your name. Sora, from my friend... Sora, from my friend...
My friend.
I don't know why I keep saying friend. I was going to cut it out, but now I have to leave it in.
It reminds me of that TikToker who's always like, my friend. So good.
He knows me? But how? And the scene flashes back to a wooden boy who's stuck inside a cage. Shame on you, Pinocchio, playing hooky and goofing off in a place like this. I'm sorry, Jiminy. I was going to school till I met somebody. Yeah, two big monsters with green eyes. Suddenly his nose grows a few inches. Oh, you don't say. And then what happened? They tied me in a big sack. His nose grows even bigger. Sounds like you were horsing around. But then I snuck off when they weren't looking. His nose finally grows out of the cage, sprouting flowers and knocking Jiminy off of his perch. My nose! What's happened? There, you see where those tall tales will get you? But it's all true. Even the fella in the black clothes who said to play a trick on Sora. What? Now who was he? I've had just about enough of your fibbing. But he looks down at Pinocchio's nose, which does not grow. Hold on. I guess that part was true. Tell me, Pinocchio, did that man in black say anything else to you? He sure didn't. Well, good. And Pinocchio says, hey, look at that, and points as a blue star flashes in the sky and floats down to them. That star again. The blue fairy. The star takes the form of a beautiful woman with a blue dress and blonde hair. Two semi-translucent wings are attached to her back and shields a wand with a star shape at its point. Why, Pinocchio, what has happened to your nose? Perhaps you haven't been telling the truth. Sir Jiminy? Well, you see, Your Honor, Miss Fairy. Oh, please help me, I'm awful sorry. Jiminy definitely wants to be stepped on by this blue fairy.
Oh my god. Into it.
See, Pinocchio? A lie keeps growing and growing until it's as plain as the nose on your face. I'll never lie again. Honest, I won't. I'll forgive you this once. But remember, a boy who won't be good might as well just be made of wood.
Might as well just be dead.
Like some fucked up bullshit. What even is good anyway?
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like Christian propaganda to me. Burn it all down. Do drugs, kids.
Be gay, do crime.
Be absolutely. Crime, do gay.
Absolutely.
Pinocchio and Jiminy together say, we'll be good, won't we? And they look at each other. Very well, but this is the last time I can help you. And she flashes her wand, and Pinocchio's nose is returned to normal. And then the scene returns to Sora and Jiminy Cricket. Sora, in this moment, is talking about the black-cloaked figure that Pinocchio referenced, and he says, that guy again. Forget him. If I don't find Pinocchio, he'll turn into a donkey like the rest of the boys. Right, then let me help you find him, Jiminy. Really? I'd be grateful. But how in the world do you know Pinocchio? Hey, over there, I see him! And Pinocchio's running around near a giant eight-ball ride. Gosh, that is Pinocchio! All aboard, Jiminy! So, Jiminy hops on Sora's shoulder, and they run, and they catch up to Pinocchio, who's wearing a purple and green outfit. Pinocchio! There you are. Pinocchio, it's not safe for you here. Listen to Jiminy and go back to... And then it turns into a Dream Eater, because this is not the real Pinocchio. Several of them surround Sora, who says, only one way to solve this problem. He means murder. So he murders these Dream Eaters. If somebody says there's only one way to solve this problem, they mean murder.
Yes. Like always.
Give me another example.
1 + 1 = 2.
I better fucking murder my math teacher.
You know what? Fair.
Wait, what's
you know what? On? Actually, this tracks.
So, there's only one way to solve this problem. That always means murder.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes that means. I think sometimes that means theft.
Oh, you know what? Hmm. I think it probably it often means crime, though. Yeah. So it's be gay, do crime. Okay.
And sometimes it also, though. Okay, I can think of scenarios where there's only one way to solve this problem could mean kissing someone.
It could.
So still be gay to
your friend's husband.
It all fits into... And what? Did you just say you're kissing someone's husband right now?
No, I said it could mean I have to smooch my friend's husband. That's what... Only one way to solve this problem.
That's not what I heard. Look. So it's now canon that Austin kisses people's husbands during the podcast.
Look, I've never kissed anyone during the podcast.
I'm looking at my husband right this minute. So I don't know who the fuck whose husband he's smooching.
I'm concerned.
Austin's on his way to steal your man.
Oh god.
Where is Kevin?
So Sora murders these Dream Eaters because he didn't mean smooching.
Weak.
Those Dream Eaters were pretending to be Pinocchio. So then, where's the real Pinocchio? Sora, up there, look at the top of the tower. Sora looks where Jiminy's pointing to see Pinocchio. They say, you're right, and they run off to reach him. But it turns out it's another Dream Eater pretending to be him, so they murder again. They search from that high vantage point that they got to see if they find him. There, see him walking? Well, sure, if it's really him. Don't give up, Jiminy. Come on, let's go. They eventually find the real Pinocchio standing high above a large trampoline surrounded by Komori bats. They both call out, Pinocchio! And he calls out, Jiminy, help me! Oh, my stars above, we've got to do something. Okay, I've got it covered. Sora runs up the ramp to the trampoline and bounces on it high enough and retrieves Pinocchio, setting him down. Oh, Pinocchio, look at you! Pinocchio has ears and the tail of a donkey. I think for now, you two better get out of here. They leave and Sora fights off the nightmares. As he turns to leave, a corridor of darkness and the cloaked young man step out yet again. You again. And then a tall man with silver hair in another black coat follows out. Xemnas, this is impossible.
My. A hollow puppet that's managed to grow a heart. Just imagine that.
Pinocchio isn't anything like you, nobody's. But if Pinocchio could be given one, shouldn't you be able to have a heart inside you, too? Xemnas gives a breathy laugh.
Maybe so. However, do not forget that you yourself are not so very different from us.
And he walks back into the corridor of darkness. How am I anything like a nobody? That doesn't make any sense. So after being accosted by two dudes in black, sort of just walks out of the circus tent. And then he immediately says, well, I hope they got home safe. He's talking about Jiminy and Pinocchio, but it's funnier to me if he's talking about Xemnas and young Xehanort. Well, I hope they got home safe. Then the blue star flashes in the sky and floats down to Sora, who shields his eyes from the light and is startled by the blue fairy's sudden appearance.
You must be Sora.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And you must be the blue fairy.
That's right. And I'm afraid I have grave news. Good Geppetto went off to look for Pinocchio, and he was swallowed by a whale named Monstro.
Four.
What? Have you told Pinocchio and Jiminy about it yet? Yes, and when I told them Geppetto was still alive inside the whale, and at the bottom of the sea, those two little ones ran off at once. They're very determined to save him.
But that's crazy. I've got to find them. The Sora runs off and the fairy vanishes, and the scene changes to Pinocchio and Jiminy on the cliff by the sea.
This Monstro, I've heard of him, Pinocchio. He's a whale of a whale. Why, he swallows whole ships.
He's a whale of a whale.
He's a whale of a whale.
A whale of a whale. That's so ridiculous.
Why, he swallows whole ships alive. And besides, it's dangerous. Why, goodbye, Jiminy.
Goodbye. I may be live bait down there, but I'm with you. And he jumps into Pinocchio's hands, and the boy walks off the cliff and falls down into the water. After Sora trudges through the sea, he reaches a wavy seabed where Pinocchio and Jiminy are running from something. Sora looks past them to see Monstro the whale with his open jaws angrily roaring at them. It flies over Sora, sending him spiraling through the water and knocked into the surrounding land. Pieces of rocky debris fall and close off the entrance of the cave Sora entered through. The current in Monstro's wake is intense, pulling Jiminy, Pinocchio, and Sora through the water. Sora gains his balance while Pinocchio and Jiminy swim frantically with Monstro in pursuit. The whale's open maw gains on them slowly.
Pinocchio! Jiminy!
Monstro's great jaws clamp down on either side of them and Sora swims toward the whale. A chill clobster, which is a monster, a big bad dream eater, that's the name of the monsters in this game, flies past him, swimming towards Monstro, who roars as the dream eater sends beams of ice into Monstro, who slows down considerably as it nears the surface.
Oh no!
He continues to race towards them, finally catching up to a frozen Monstro caught in a sea of ice. The chill clobster flies over the ice.
I'll have to claw my way past and then rescue my friends.
So Sora fights and defeats this big dream eater, destroying the ice around Monstro. He encases Monstro in a bubble using magic and uses it to follow the dream eater as it tries to escape. The nightmare attempts to attack, but pops the bubble instead, giving Monstro the chance to swallow the nightmare. This knocks Sora down into the water, but when he resurfaces, he sees Monstro heave his giant mouth open and scream as it sneezes him away. Sora wakes up on land, having lost Monstro completely. He looks out at the water and as the waves lap up against the shore.
I get it now. After this, Pinocchio and Jiminy's world gets dragged into darkness, and they end up cast into the sea between worlds, along with Monstro. And then they end up in Traverse Town, and the belly of the whale. That's when we meet for real. It's like Master Yen Sid said, I'm in the dream Pinocchio's world is dreaming, and that world will never be right again until it wakes from sleep.
A keyhole appears in the sky, and Sora seals it. At some other point in time, perhaps in the same world, perhaps in an alternate version, Riku arrives inside of Monstro. He looks around Monstro's mouth where several piles of wood rest. And here's an old man yelling,
Pinocchio! Son, where have you run off to?
Isn't that Geppetto? Then this must be... Riku swims over and finds Geppetto, the clockmaker, sitting on his bed, his head in his hands. What's the matter? Geppetto's startled for a second.
Oh, goodness. Who are you?
Riku.
Oh, Riku. You poor lad. Seems you were swallowed up by Monstro just like the rest of us. My name is Geppetto, and I'm looking for my son, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio's gone missing?
I'm afraid so. After all my searching, I found him here in the whale, But he ran off again to who knows where. That sounds kind of familiar. Mr. Geppetto, let me go look for your son.
Would you do that? Thank you. Are you sure?
Yeah. Leave it to me. Did you say you were really gonna help us find Pinocchio? Riku turns and sees Jiminy Cricket on a nearby table. Jiminy? Huh? That's right. My name's Jiminy. Jiminy Cricket. But shucks. Have we met? No. You know, never mind. If you say so. Anyway, Pinocchio comes first. Right. Any idea where he went? Well, I'm almost certain he wandered off with a stranger. Can you describe him? I remember he was dressed in a black coat. Riku gasps. A black coat. He's back again. He touches his heart and pauses for a moment. Thanks. He walks away, but Jiminy hops up onto his shoulder. Huh? Well, I'm going with you. Pinocchio's gonna need his conscience, and that's where I come in. So Riku and Jiminy search through Monstro's insides to find Pinocchio walking with a hooded man.
Pinocchio!
The boy turns and sees them. Jiminy!
Let him go, now.
The hooded one faces him and taps Pinocchio forward. The boy is confused for a moment and looks up at the figure. But this figure is letting him go, so he runs off to Jiminy.
Thank goodness, are you all right? Riku and I looked for you everywhere.
Uh-huh, I'm just fine. Sorry, Jiminy, I messed up real bad. You and Father have been so worried about me.
Why, Pinocchio, I think you just might be starting to learn.
While they're having that conversation, Riku approaches the hooded figure.
Who are you?
So the figure removes his hood to reveal a Kingdom Hearts 1 Riku.
Me?
Then a corridor of darkness appears and the boy enters it. Riku runs to follow, but it closes before he reaches, standing stunned.
Jiminy. As I live and breathe.
That was my dark side. I gave in to the darkness once, and ever since it's chased me around in one form or another. The Seeker of Darkness who stole my body, a puppet replica of the shadows in my heart. And now, I'm facing me.
Your dark side? Gee, Riku, don't you have a Jiminy like I do? He's my conscience. He's taught me all kinds of important stuff. Maybe you just need somebody to show you what's right and wrong.
Sure, you can't shoulder all your problems alone, you know. You must have somebody, a friend you can talk to. Yeah, I actually do. The stupid grin he's always wearing is the best teacher I could have.
Gee whiz, I wish I had lots of good friends.
You will, Pinocchio, more than you can count. Monster lets out a wail, which is ironic.
What now?
He looks to the entrance of another chamber.
Is something in there?
Pinocchio, Jiminy, you should head back. I'll see what's shaking things up.
Okay.
So the two leave, and Riku proceeds further into Monstro until he finds a fire version of the same crab, Dream Eater, that Sora fought. It's latched itself onto the inside of Monstro's stomach. As Riku enters, it shoots out a blast to the entrance, and Riku quickly skids on the ground to dodge. Riku summons his Keyblade as the monster turns to face him. Riku fights it and ends up defeating the monster. And then back in Monster's mouth, Geppetto laughs happily as Pinocchio runs into his arms. They hug tightly as Riku watches.
I thought I was only sent into the past on Destiny Islands. So why does it seem like time rebound in this world, too?
Maybe it's like Master Yen had said. The world was freed from darkness, but it's yet to wake from it. It's trapped in a never-ending dream.
A keyhole appears in the air, and Riku seals it.
Meanwhile, back in the castle of Radiant Gardens, Destiny Islands doesn't have a castle. The red-haired man walks into a study, massaging his neck.
Where are they? I've turned this castle upside down.
He looks up to see Enzo and Aelia searching around the room. Books are strewn everywhere.
Hey, are the other two still out cold? Then Alias speaks. Dylan and Evan are conscious again, but still unstable. They're resting inside. Gotcha. Well, I guess I'll give the castle grounds a sweep. Don't. If they were back, we would have found them by now. The man scratches his head. So, do you think they were blasted off to some other world, or what? And then Ienzo finally speaks. I highly doubt it. When someone who's lost their heart is recompleted, they should return to the place where it happened. And if that world is unavailable for whatever reason, a refuge is made for them in the realm between, a world called Traverse Town. They would be sent there, or perhaps... No, look, okay? The fact is that we're here. We've been recompleted, right? So they should be here too, plain and simple. I agree. It is strange. What a drag. Could they not have been recompleted at all? Well, you see... Nah, forget it. He walks to a portion of a wall where a painting was once hung. You know what? I'll bring him back myself. How exactly? Alias stands, and the man says, kind of looking at the camera, Why do I always get stuck with the icky jobs? He looks up at a message on the wall, where we know like the whole password is the door to darkness and stuff. It's that message on the wall that he's looking at. I think that's a good enough place to end it. We got through one whole world. But do you guys have any thoughts, comments, or questions on the world is called Prankster's Paradise?
I love Gangster's Paradise.
She said what she said.
It's the Disney version of Gangster's Paradise.
You're right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My only comment is, when do we stop killing these wonderful animals?
We're only killing the evil ones, and we have the good ones helping us kill the evil ones.
But my question is, what makes them evil, though?
They eat good dreams. And the good ones eat the bad ones. They eat each other, I don't know.
To be really, really honest, I think nightmares and good dreams are subjective, because I have dreams that are categorized as nightmares that I think are very complex, interesting, and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone tried talking to these individuals?
They don't.
Is this a role they've been given by nature?
There is no good or bad in nature. There is only the circle of life.
I cannot believe.
What if they eradicate them and, like, they become extinct or endangered and then extinct, and then it messes with the entire ecosystem?
Yeah. What if, you know, the good dreams are going to overpopulate and overflood, and then they're going to run out of food sources, and then they're going to die. That is what happens when you remove predators from an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was a wildlife biologist for 2 years of college, so let me tell you what I learned. I've had many majors. So many for the listeners.
But you know that the nightmares are bad because they're darker colors.
They smell weird?
How dare. I think Kingdom Hearts should have a Walking Dead world.
Oh my god.
Talk to Daryl Dixon. He threatens you with a crossbow. You're a little into it.
You're confused because danger is suddenly something very real, but you're like, it's also part of my daily routine. So if you don't threaten me with a weapon but when I meet you, it's not going to work out.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Sora and Daryl would be friends.
I think Sora would try to, like, gaslight Daryl or some shit. And then he'd get shot.
That's what Sora
only
does.
Gaslights lions.
Listen.
That's so real hateful. Speciesist.
That's speciesly motivated.
Careful, Cronus. What? He's gonna come gaslight you.
He...
Your aura line.
Gaslight all of this. I'm too dumb already.
Wait. What?
What?
Listen, listen. Dumb's actually not the right word. People who are able to be gaslit are usually, in their hearts, morally just. Mm. And I am not morally just. Mm. I'm morally ambiguous.
I agree with that.
You know, I was real worried about where that was going, but you know, I see you. I see you in this place.
Thank you.
Those are our thoughts, Austin.
Good. I'm glad. Well, our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by On Ultra. You can find his Bandcamp links in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. We have an immense amount of people to welcome. We've had a lot of people join recently.
Are you going to wrap it?
No.
Oh, damn.
I'm scrolling back up to find where
we
to
we can
start
do the
reading.
Ravioli thing. These names rhyme with ravioli.
Okay, I think we start with... Okay. Do we want to do that?
No. Oh my god, that would take forever.
It would.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
These words rhyme with ravioli. These words rhyme with ravioli.
Never heard of Shark. That before.
Sharkioli.
It's an improv game. So you don't choose words that rhyme with ravioli. You just say random words like shark, and everyone goes sharkioli, and then someone else comes up with a word. Riley.
Rileyoli.
And then so on and so forth.
Oh.
Austin almost brought down a balcony once playing that game.
No, I did not.
Wow.
Okay, Austin launched his... Wait, no. You didn't launch your vape during that game, huh?
No, it was just that same night on that same balcony.
It's so hard.
Anyway.
What floor was it? Like 15th?
Yeah, 15th or 14th. We were really high. No, we were really drunk, to be clear. We were high in the air. We weren't high on drugs. We were high on alcohol.
It's called being drunk, fair. My dude.
I know. That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
I said it at some point.
One of the things.
So,
anyways, read the names.
Greg is awkward.
Hi, Greg. Me too.
Same. Oh, Greg stole my cat.
Greg did steal your cat.
Oliver, no!
I want it back.
Humsmoo.
Oh.
I'm sorry, who?
Humsmoo.
All right.
We stand.
All right.
We stand.
Okay.
Miriam.
Miriam.
What up?
Mark you.
Mark you. Mark me.
Mark me.
Mark Crab Rangoon Jack.
Yeah.
I love Crab Rangoons.
Yeah, you know what? You got your shit together, I bet, don't you? Mm-hmm.
I don't eat seafood.
Saiyan Swag 3292.
Into it.
I like your number choices. They feel right.
Is there power over 9,000 or whatever?
No, it's whatever number they chose.
It would be 3,000.
That's not over 9,000. It's 3,292. You got a ways to go, my guy. My girl, my dude, my friend, my pal, my they, them. I don't know.
Gator.
Woo!
Florida.
Maggie.
Hey.
Maggie, I like that name.
A badass character on The Walking Dead.
Look, you're ready.
Name of the Bloodhound St. Bernard mix I had as a child.
I love learning these personal tidbits.
D-Money 232.
Ooh,
you know, D-Money?
Ooh, you gotta change D-Money. That. We already know a letter money.
Athena Lux.
Athena Lux. Okay, that's a really cool name. I really like that name.
Yeah.
Derek Heat.
Whoa, flap flap, motherfuckers. I think.
Derek Heat.
Sliv King 99.
What did you just say to me?
Sliv King 99.
Sliv? Sliv King.
Yeah, S-I-L, or no, S-L-I-V, King.
They're the king of Sliv, what can they say?
That sounds nasty, but like in a good way. That sounds like an appropriate kind of nasty.
Mr. Mantastic 27.
Oh.
Also nasty, and I love it.
Mr. Mantastic.
They call him Mr. Mantastic.
Do our followers hate us?
Yumius?
Yumius. I feel like that's like a spell. Like in Hello from the Magic Tavern, like Gaily of Lichtencommer. You're just Yumius.
Y-U-M-I-U-S. Yumius. That's how I would say it.
Nice.
Corey.
All right, basic, but we love it.
What's the name of my my sister's boyfriend?
It's spelled K-H-O-R-R-I.
Oh, so you're not like a basic Corey. You're like exotic. All right.
Spicy.
You're the fun Corey.
Spicy.
I think they go by Coralie, actually.
Coralie? Now that's a pretty name.
That's a beautiful name.
I like many names that end in lie.
Yeah, same. Like Lorelei.
Yes, Lorelei is so pretty.
I love that name.
Drizzy Drake.
Drizzy Drake.
And that's all.
Yes.
Drizzy Drake is our last one.
Drizzy Drake. I'd like to give you a shout out and ask you to remember us when you're big and ask if you would please notify us all when you drop your EP.
Yes! Mixtape is fire!
But that's all from us this week. Bye!
I think that's quite enough from us this week. Bye!
This world.